All right, so for Third Talk, today, of course, we're continuing through the book Nevertheless I Live, and we're going to start on what are called the four R's of reformers. And so first one is reaffirming our helplessness. And so the name of the textbook for RU is Nevertheless I Live. It's based on this verse in Galatians chapter 2. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if Christ has come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And Brother Currington is developing curriculum to try to help those struggling with addictions, and as he found freedom himself, this was a key verse. And it helps us to understand some principles by which we can gain freedom from addiction. And so these four principles taken from these verses have come to be known as the four R's of reformers. And we touched on this briefly several months ago, but we're kind of just reviewing and building on that. And so tonight is the first of these four principles we want to focus on, and that's reaffirming our helplessness. And so let's dive right into that. And so the idea of reaffirming our helplessness, we could say another way, coming to the end of ourselves. Because that's a point that we have to get to when we're trying to get out of our addiction. See, the greatest source of our problems in life can many times be traced back to a problem of our own pride. Because the thing is, we want to convince ourselves that we have the physical, mental, and emotional strength to handle any challenge that we face, and that we have the wisdom ourselves to navigate our own way through life. And so I think especially as men, that's something that we struggle with. We want to be tough. We want to think, I can handle this. We never want to ask for directions because we want to prove that we can find our way by ourselves, that I'm not lost. I just picked a new, bold way to get to where I want to go. It's like I'm not some wimp that has to rely on GPS. I can just follow my instincts and get there on my own. This is what we try to say to ourselves, right? It's just, that's what we do in so many different things in life. But we want to realize it is often our pride that leads us into addiction. And there may be several ways, but I just want to highlight two of them. Because sometimes what happens, even though we want to think we can handle any challenge we face, that there's going to come a time where we face a challenge or traumatic experience that is too much for us. And we don't know what to do, and we don't have the strength to be able to handle it. And so then we look for something to cope with it or escape from it, rather than admit, okay, I'm struggling, I need help, I need to talk with someone. And so you could think of it this way. You could think of a soldier that he's physically very strong, very fit. He's gone through a great deal of training, so he knows what to do in a combat situation. But then what happens is, he goes through something and he sees a guy that was his friend, a person that he was very close to, that he gets killed right in front of him. And he has to try to process that. Yes, he gets through the firefight, he survives, but there's that fight within of those images, those memories, and just the grief that he's facing. And so how does someone like that deal with that? A lot of times it's like, well, I don't want to think about that. I want to push it away. So then they turn to drink. And it's not that they were like they're wimps or anything like that. They've gone through something that's just, they've gotten to their point where it's beyond what they can handle. And it'd be the same, you could think in our own society, say a firefighter where he pulls up on an accident scene and they're trying to rescue someone, get them out of the vehicle, get them to the hospital so that they can get the help that they need, and they see the person's life slip from them just as they're like, we're here. It's like, and they think, well, if we just have been in here 5 minutes sooner, maybe we would have saved this person's life. And you go through all that guilt, and it's like, how do you deal with that? And it's not an easy thing to do. And for a lot of them, it's internalized, and an addiction can be a way to deal with that. That's not a healthy way, not a good way, but it's in the moment it seems better than having to go to someone and act, say, I need help, I can't handle this, can you help me? But two, another thing that often happens is when it comes to drugs and alcohol and other things, there's plenty enough warnings out there to say this isn't a good idea. And like through school, they always have different programs to say no to drugs, drink responsibly, all these other things. And what happens a lot of times when we're young is we think, what do they know? It's just, they're just trying to be kind of a buzzkill. They just want to keep me from fun. And so we scorn the warnings and we think, well, I'm going to try this and see. I'm not some chicken. And a lot of times we do, we think we'll be the exception. There's so many other people whose lives have been devastated by drugs or alcohol, but I think, well, that's not going to be me. I'm going to be able to handle it. I'm going to be able to be in control. I am strong enough to keep it in its place and not have it come to being stronger than me. But of course, that's a lie that we believe, and it gets us into a lot of trouble. But it's our pride, really, that wants to accept that lie. But we see that in leading us into addiction, our pride brings us low. And we find that in Proverbs 29, verse 23. That was actually the verse the Lord kind of gave me to dwell on this morning. It's, man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And that's what happens when we're proud. We're always trying to lift ourselves up, but it always ends up bringing us down. And it's the thing is, when we become enslaved by addiction, what happens? It shows that our wisdom is faulty, that we made a bad decision, that a very costly decision. It shows our strength to be inadequate, that we can't control it. It's controlling us. We try to quit. We think, I can quit at any time. And then we actually try to quit. And it's like, I can't quit on my own. And of course, as well, we become ashamed of the person that addiction changes us into. We say, what has happened to me? What have I become? I'm not this person to look at and be admired and respected. I'm someone that I look in the mirror and I'm ashamed of myself. And so our pride really takes a hit because of as it leads us into addiction. But the thing is, too, is that our pride not only leads us into addiction, it also keeps us in our addiction. Because we don't want to admit we have a problem. We don't want to admit we made a mistake. And we want to insist that we can break free on our own. So really what we want to understand is that our pride is our enemy. That so often in life we're our own worst enemy, that we fight against ourselves. And when we realize that my pride, it got me into trouble, it's kept me in trouble, it's preventing me from getting the help that I need, that we need to come to a point where we just say, okay, I'm tired of this pride of my heart running the show. And we've said it before, the first step on the path to victory over addiction is finding the courage to say, I need help. And that's, it's not an easy thing to do. We really have to humble ourselves to be willing to say that, but it's necessary. We need to come to that point. We need to come to the end of ourselves. And so when we think of it in this way, that we realize our helplessness, then it's getting to the help that we need, because we want to realize that. Being willing to admit we need help, that is a very big, humbling step. And that takes us well out of our comfort zone. But the thing is, too, is that if we want to find help, and we don't want to have the courage to actually say, I need help, but then not get the right help and still be in the same boat, right? That puts us in a worse position, right? And so it's the idea of finding the right kind of help that's going to take us even further out of our comfort zone. But it's just as necessary. And we want to realize that, is that we want to keep it simple. We want to not go any farther. We don't want to push ourselves any more than we have to. But we got to realize sometimes it's kind of like you have sometimes where you're trying to go and swimming in a lake or something like that, and the water's cold, and you think, well, if I just kind of go in a little bit at a time, it'll be better, where sometimes it's best just to plunge right in and get over with, right? And so that's kind of with getting help from addiction. It's best, okay, I need help, whatever help it takes, I got to do this, and I need to not allow my pride to be a barrier to that. And so it's a thought. This is how it starts out for us sometimes. Okay, I know I need help, so I am going to go to my present circle of friends and I'm going to ask them to help me. Because I think, oh yeah, they're my buddies. They'll be there for me. They'll see my need and want to encourage me in this. But then when we do that, what do we find? That a lot of times it's those same circle of friends that are actually been contributing to our addiction problem. And that's one of the principles with RU, is that those who do not love the Lord will not help us serve the Lord. That sometimes we realize that the companions we have been part of the problem. They're not necessarily part of the solution. We want to help them eventually to come out of the same thing we're in, but sometimes we recognize that there can be kind of that crab bucket mentality where someone's trying to get themselves out of this, and it's like, well, if you do, then that makes us look bad, so we want to pull you back in so that we don't have to feel like we have to change. And so we have to recognize that's we'd like in a way for that to be, oh yeah, I can just go with the people I know and this will be the help that I get and this will be enough. But usually we have to go out further than that. And so we may have to seek help from a new circle of friends. And that's what we do want, is to have people that are a positive influence in our life, that are encouraging us, that want to see us break free from our addiction, want to help us. And that's part of why we have what we have here, is that where we can be that mutual encouragement to one another. But we want to realize at a certain point that we're seeking help for something that's beyond our wisdom and strength. But for these friends that we seek help from, it might actually be beyond their wisdom and strength to help too. That with a specific issue that we have, they're like, I haven't experienced that. I don't know what you're going through. I don't have the answer for you. Right? And it's the thing is that sometimes relying on our new circle of friends too heavily, what it can lead to is a codependent relationship. That it happens that when we're used to using, we're dependent and using things or substance or drug, sometimes we can easily switch to using people. And we don't mean to, but we're like, well, I need you to help me to stay clean. And the person will say, okay, well, I'll do all I can, but I'm tired. I got to go to bed. It's like, can you come back in the morning and I'll try to talk with you? And you're like, well, no, I need help now. And it's they have their limits, right? And so for us to push that too much, we realize, okay, these people are trying, but they can only do so much. And having that relationship that's too codependent, it can be harmful for those people and for us. And so we want to seek out new friends, but we want to realize, okay, our friends, they do have their limitations as well, same as us. But then as well, we realize it is good to seek professional help. There's a lot of resources out there that can be very helpful. And sometimes there's different things in the whole process that may be necessary, whether it's detox, whether it's some different medications that can maybe help give a greater chemical balance to the brain, other things like that. But we do realize the state of affairs that things are in right now, that there is such a overwhelming need of people that are addicted, that are trying to get help, and the resources have not caught up to the need. They're not anywhere close yet. And so we realize that because there's so much demand and there's a limited supply of the resources, that as we go, we might find that these different organizations that should be able to help us, they may lack the resources and availability to provide us with the help in those times that we need it the most. That the people that operate those places, they have to go home and make supper and have time with their families too, right? And it might be after hours that we really need the help, right? And we think of it in Kindersley for a lot of different things. It's like, it's not like we have bed space for a lot of these things necessarily right here. A lot of times a person has to end up going to Saskatoon or somewhere else to get that assistance, right? And so we hope that that can change, but in the moment that's not the case, right? And so we realize that. And of course, some people that they can be willing to help us and not be able, but there's others that sometimes maybe they've just simply got burnt out by trying to help people, and so they look at you and you just, oh, you're another problem case. It's like, go to someone else and they'll give us the runaround because they're tired of dealing with you. And you hope that's not the case, but it's just natural that at a certain point it can be very taxing, and a person can lose that kind of desire and compassion that you would hope they would have. And so with all that, we want to realize that if we're determined to break free from addiction for good, we always need to be seeking the best source of help available. And so we want to think about, boy, if there was someone who had unlimited resources, someone whose wisdom and strength and compassion is unparalleled, and someone who is available 24/7 that I can call them at any time and they are there ready to help me, and they actually they're coherent and know what to say. Because it's kind of the thing, like I've sometimes as a pastor received calls in the middle of the night, but it's like, how likely is it that I'll actually be able to give a coherent answer? It's like, okay, this is what you should do. It's like, I would probably call you back the next morning and say, well, what did I actually say to you? And when I find out what I said, I was like, okay, just ignore that. I'm awake now. This is what you should do, right? Because it just, in the middle of the night, sometimes you just don't have that sense. But someone that's there, that is coherent, that can give you the help you need right when you need it, in those dark times when it seems nobody else can help you, that a person like that could be available. You would say, yeah, someone like that, I would go for that. And we want to realize that such a person does exist. And this is a sad thing, is that he's usually the last one we turn to when we've exhausted every other option. But really, we want to understand he should be the first one that we turn to. And the person, of course, is God. That God sees our struggles. God is really willing and able to help us. He's not there to mock us or make fun of us or say we need to get our act cleaned up before he'll even stoop to help us. It's the thing is that he is ready and willing to help. And it's as we humble ourselves before him, as we say, okay, Lord, I need your help. And he's like, yes, I know. I've been waiting for you to ask me. And so I'm ready to help you. And so I just wanted to share some different verses from the scriptures just to reinforce that idea of God being the help that we need. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So if we have trouble, it's kind of the thing, like we have it where you're in a crisis or something, you call 911 and there's a dispatcher there to take your call, and you hope that you're not too far in the country that you can have the help arrive before it's too late, right? But with the Lord, it's like you can call him at any time and he is very present to help you. He's not going to get stuck in traffic or anything like that. That he is there and ready to help. This is Hosea 13 verse 9, and this verse actually really applies in terms of the thought of addiction. God was talking to his own people. He says, "Oh Israel, you've destroyed yourself." And that's a lot of times when we get into addiction, we've destroyed ourselves by our addiction. But he says, "But in me is thine help." That he's not just leaving us in that place where, okay, you've done this to yourself, and I'm just going to walk away. You're going to take all this and justly because of what you've done. He says, "No, I know what you've done, but I want to help you in this state that you're in." And he says, "Fear not thou, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. He will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And that's the thing, that so often when we're struggling with addiction, we have those moments where we have that that thirst for it, that craving, and we're like, we just feel ourselves wanting to give in and losing that will and that strength. And it's in those moments where he says, "I want to uphold you so you don't fall, you don't fail. You can get through this challenge." Because it's kind of, as you learn to say no to the cravings, they get weaker and weaker, and eventually it's where you don't even think about it anymore. But it takes time, and he wants to help us in those moments. And this another verse says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded, therefore shall I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." That we can have that determination, because we know God's going to help me. And I don't have to be ashamed that he's going to come through for me and help me in those difficult times. And this is Psalm 121. It says, "I will lift up mine eyes in the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And that's a blessing. He's up all night. He's ready to help, and it's a lot of times we can turn things over to him and go back to sleep because he's got it. And learning to do that is in so many different cases where we give the problem to him, we seek his help, he's ready, willing, and able to help us. And so our addiction can bring us down so low that we have nowhere to look but up. And it's as we come to the end of ourselves and in that place of helplessness, then we cry out to God in faith, that we find that he is mighty to save us both from the penalty and the power of sin and addiction. That we can be forgiven and cleansed from it, and he can take away our guilt and shame, but as well he can help us daily to be able to find victory so that that addiction loses its power over us. And so, some final thoughts. This is from Psalm 79, verse 9. I think it applies in this thought. It says, "Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and purge away our sins, for thy name's sake." That's our prayer, is like, "Lord, help, for your own name's sake, deliver us, purge away our sins, so that we become clean, that our addiction becomes just a bad memory, that's not a present reality." And so there's always a point where our wisdom and strength come to an end. And no matter who we are, that point might be different for every single person. Someone might have great physical strength, but not very much emotional strength. And others might be, you can have actually... I've seen some older ladies where they're very frail physically, but they're tough old birds. And it's just amazing to see that, right? And that's maybe not the most respectful term, but like you realize that, right? That there's something about them where they're, they couldn't beat you in a fight, but like in a stare down, like they can intimidate you into saying, "Yes, ma'am, I'll do what you say," kind of thing, right? And so... But you realize that all of us have a point where we're not strong enough, we're not wise enough, that we can't fix the problem ourselves, that we need help. And we don't want to admit that there's a point like that. We want to say, well, it's far, I've never gotten to that point, but the fact is we probably all have at one point or another. But the thing is, when we recognize where that point is, and we accept it, and we say, okay, I'm at my end, I need help, it's at that point that God's strength and wisdom can then be manifested in our life. And it's when we are weak, then we are strong, because we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so it's the thing that God's help is always available. And the question is, are we willing to let go of our pride and cry out to Him for His help? And I think too often we're like, nope, I got this. I can figure this out on my own. I can handle this. And instead we just need to come and say, Lord, I can't fix this. I need your help. And when we get to that point, that's when He shows Himself strong enough.